This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
Okay, so we're going to look in a little bit of detail then about this idea of David as an eschatological figure. So again, eschatology means to do with the end, the study of the end. And as far as the Bible's concerned, the end is not an end time, it's end times, because it has already begun. So Jesus is the beginning of the end. Okay, that's one of the ways in which he's the Alpha and Omega. And when he came into the earth in his incarnation, that signified the beginning of the end. And the end of the end will be when he comes back. And at the moment, we live in the end times, or the other phrase that's used for that is the last days. And even the New Testament writers wrote of their own time. James says, these are the last days. So we are in this time. We are in this era. And let's turn to Isaiah, if you will, chapter 11. And we're going to look at one of the images that Isaiah associates with David and then becomes a really interesting motif that's found through a number of the prophets. One of the things we find, as Chris illustrated from quoting from the historical books, that the historical books, of course, largely overlap, particularly the book of 1 and 2 Kings, overlap with the era of the prophetic writings. The older prophets are probably more, if they talk of David, they'll probably be more the backward looking, the comparing the current kings to David. And as we go on through history, it becomes much more forward looking. And I know both I and Chris are both going to end up in Zechariah, who was one of the last writing prophets. And by that point, David has very much become this future figure, not a historical figure. So we're just going to begin with Isaiah 11. We're just going to read the first verse for now. And the prophecy says this: a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a branch will bear fruit. Okay, so we need to ask a few questions when we read this. Who was Jesse? David's father. Okay, did everyone know that? Okay, so again, if you're doing something like this, again, if you're using an online resource, there'll probably be a little kind of footnote or something you can click on that will tell you who Jesse was. Jesse was David's father. So Jesse is the man that Samuel goes to visit and says, bring your sons out, because I'm going to anoint one of them to be king. So he's David's father. Now, here's an interesting phrase: a shoot will come from the stump. Jesse's David's father. Chris has already talked a lot about the idea of David's lineage, David's children, the promise that God made that he would always have a son on the throne. When you read that phrase of a shoot coming from a stump, what does that kind of make you think? What kind of an image do you think that's creating? What kind of a message is that bringing? New life. And what's happened before the new life? Death. So the end of something. It's a stump. It's been, and like you say, judgment, Chris, because it's not just that it's died. A stump is where something has been cut down. But out of that stump comes a shoot. Job actually describes himself as a stump. And he says, but like a stump, at the scent of water will send forth shoots. Yeah. And so it's this kind of image of judgment, of destruction, of death, but out of that, new life coming. And some of you will read the whole of this chapter a little bit later, so I'm not going to go any further in it at the moment. But the idea is that when we're now talking about the branch, but the branch that is formed from a shoot that comes from the stump of Jesse. So David isn't mentioned here, but clearly David's family is put in mind. And we're told that ultimately there is a new branch that's going to come out of that same root. And that branch is going to be quite amazing when you get to read the rest of the chapter. But let's just look at a few other, because this idea of the branch is one that becomes quite common in the prophets. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 4. And so the branch is clearly associated with David. But clearly goes beyond anything that a natural David could achieve. So in Isaiah chapter 4, verses 2 to 6, we read this. In that day, and that's another key that the prophets often have, when they say in that day, or in those days, or in the last days, they're talking of this future era. They're talking about this time of the coming kingdom, of the end. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of the survivors of Israel. Those who are left in Zion, who remain in Jerusalem, will be called holy, all who are recorded among the living in Jerusalem. The Lord will wash away the filth of the women of Zion. He will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire. The Lord will create over all of Mount Zion and over those who assemble there a cloud of smoke by day and a glow of flaming fire by night. Over everything the glory will be a canopy. It will be a shelter and a shade from the heat of the day and a refuge and a hiding place from the storm and the rain. And so he takes the imagery of when the children of Israel led out of Egypt by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of cloud by night, and says a time is coming through what the branch of God, this kind of future character, this future person is going to do. He's going to bring God's people to a place of purity where God's presence will be with them, not just leading them, but resting over them. And God's own presence of fire and cloud will be a protection and a shelter for God's people. So he's not talking at all in natural terms. He's talking in supernatural terms. Jeremiah then picks up the image of the branch as well. And if we look at Jeremiah 23. We dipped into Jeremiah 23 earlier. I just want to read this again. So from verse 5, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David, or I will raise up from David's line, some translations put, a righteous branch. So Jeremiah is being quite clear that this branch is a man who is part of the line of David. A king who will reign wisely and will do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Saviour. So then the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the people will no longer say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites out of Egypt. But they will say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the descendants of Israel up out of the land of the north and out of all the countries where he had banished them, and they will live in their own land. Go forward to Jeremiah 33. So there the branch in Jeremiah 23 is this good shepherd, the wise king, who will bring the people back into the land, who will bring them into their inheritance, who will bring them back into the place. Because the promised land, I always like to refer to the promised land as the land of promise, because it wasn't just that God promised them the land, it was the place where he would fulfill all his promises to them. And so the issue of which bit of land it is becomes less of an issue when you realize that it was a place where God could fulfill all his promises to his people. And Jeremiah 33 then, which is this great kind of passage about the new covenant, but we're just going to read a few verses here. And Jeremiah makes reference back to the prophecy that he brings in chapter 23. We're going to go from verse 14 to 18. In Jeremiah 33, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Saviour. And it's interesting that there's been a slight shift there, depending on your translation as well. Before, that's the name of the branch, but now it's the name of God's people, the Lord, our righteous Saviour. For this is what the Lord says. Now he's going to fill out this prophetic word now. This is what the Lord says. David will never fail to have a man sit on the throne of Israel, nor will the Levitical priests ever fail to have a man to stand before me continually to offer burnt offerings, to burn grain offerings, and to present sacrifices. And there's been a slight shift in how this covenant that God has made with David has been stated. So previously, and I think Chris made reference to this, whether he read the scripture or not, I can't actually remember, but the promise is that there will always be a descendant, this kind of idea of man after man after man after man. But now the promise is phrased in a slightly different way, which can kind of mean the same thing, but also shows us it means something more than that. Because now he says, there will never fail to be, David will never fail to have a man to sit on the throne of Israel.
Yeah.
And the promise God made with Levi as well, that there will never fail to be a priest. And now we begin to see that this promise could be interpreted in two ways, not just as one king after another, but ultimately one king who will reign forever.
Yeah.
Ultimately one priest who will remain a priest forever. Mm. And we're beginning to pick up some of the language now that we hear and more familiar with in the New Testament. Let's push on to Zechariah. And I was really struck just looking at this verse in Zechariah 3 again today. Zechariah 3:8, and this is perhaps the most blatant expression by a prophet that he understands that what's happening around him is foreshadowing a greater reality in the future. And he says this, Zechariah 3 verse 8, "Listen, High Priest Joshua, you and your associates seated before you, who are men symbolic of things to come, I am going to bring my servant, the branch." And then just go on, he picks up on this again in chapter 6. So he's actually saying to these guys, he says, you are symbolic of things and people yet to come. And then in Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12, we'll go from verse 11. "Take the silver and gold and make the crown and set it on the head of the high priest, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and tell him, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Here is the man whose name is the branch, and he will branch out from his place and build the temple of the Lord. It is he who will build the temple of the Lord, and he will be clothed with majesty and will sit and rule on his throne. And he will be a priest on his throne, and there will be harmony between the two." So here's the thing, this guy is called Joshua, except of course that's an anglicized version of the Hebrew word Yeshua. Jesus is the Greek version of the Hebrew word Yeshua. So this guy who is told by the prophet that he foreshadows someone yet to come, his name is exactly the same, it's not just a bit like, he has exactly the same name as Jesus. And also, he is not a king, he is a priest. And yet he's being crowned to rule as a king. And he's told, you are the branch. Now, this could, of course, completely go to his head if it weren't for the fact that he's already been told, actually, you're just really foreshadowing the greater reality that's yet to come. But suddenly all these things, so the clarity with which the prophets talk about the times to come, the clarity with how they show what the role of David is, this branch. David becomes the branch. He is a shoot out from the stump. There is this kind of new growth, this new David, this new branch, but still from the same root. And we don't want to steal any thunder from next time, but Jesus makes kind of some reference to this in the New Testament as well about himself. Look what it says about the branch. First of all, the branch is called the branch because he will branch out from his place. That is, he will have a greater reach than God's people have had historically. You know, when Zechariah was prophesying, Jerusalem and Judea was an incredibly unimportant part of the civilized world. It was a backwater. It was a minor province in a massive empire. And when you read some of the other writings from that time, it's clear that this really wasn't. Nobody had much regard for this place. But he's told, you're going to branch out. The insignificant is going to become much more significant. Mm-hmm. What's he going to do? He's going to build the temple. We read about this, of course, in Ezra and Nehemiah. It's the historic parallel to the book of Zechariah. Now, Solomon's temple was rebuilt in Zechariah's time. And Haggai tells us that when the old people who remembered what Solomon's temple had been like looked at the rebuilt temple, they cried, because it was such a poor reflection of the former glory of the temple. But of course, Jesus ultimately comes to build the final incarnation of the temple, a temple made with living stones, a temple where the Holy Spirit dwells in the lives of individual believers, the temple where the church is a house where God dwells by his Spirit. He's also told he's going to rule on the throne. He's going to be king. He's a priest, but he's also going to be king. And Jesus, of course, combines the ministry of the high priest and the king. And Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And of the increase of his government and peace, says Isaiah, there will be no end. He is the one king forever. And Hebrews tells us that you are a priest forever. Again, quoting David, which we mentioned last time. You were a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus' priesthood is eternal as well. And so these images of David, the historical figure, become these pictures of this messianic David, this eschatological David, that are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Okay, I've got an exercise for you to do. We need to split into two groups. There are two chapters. They're fairly long. So I'm not going to say read them and then talk about it. I want you to kind of read and discuss as you go through. So one group can take Ezekiel chapter 34, because we've not been in Ezekiel yet. And the other can take Isaiah 11, which we started reading just now. So if you want to get yourselves into groups. And what I'd like you to do is, each of these chapters speaks of David as a coming as a coming person, you know, as a future person. So they speak of a coming David figure. And as you read through the chapter, just take note or discuss as you go through the characteristics that are reminiscent of the historic King David and those that go beyond that into something more supernatural and speak of the eschatological David that is Jesus, okay? So whenever you go through, if there are things that you think, well, that reminds me of King David from the Old Testament, or that reminds me of Jesus, just kind of note them as you go through and kind of just kind of discuss them together, okay?
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.